Welcome back to Two Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. I guess we're not going to get Killtown on. Wow. How many times has this happened to me now? By the way, I did hear back from Larissa Alexandrovna. She's the head editor there of Raw Story. She was supposed to be on last week. Remember, she didn't show up. She did indicate that I guess we do have Killtown on the line, guys. That's good. So I'll be bringing him up in a minute. I guess that might be what happened. It might have been the time differential thing. Anyway, but Miss Alexandrovna is going to be coming back on. I'm just waiting to hear back from her. There was a miscommunication. The number she gave me was her cell phone number. She did it by accident. She thought she had given me her landline number, and she didn't have her cell phone on her that day. So that's what was wrong there. So we will be getting her back on. Anyway, great news. Actually, before I bring Killtown on, I just wanted to mention this. I was looking through some other news items. UN envoy blasts U.S. for pro-Israeli agenda. Every once in a while, you'll see an article like this, and you know, the left will jump all over it. See, this is great. See, the UN is a good thing. It's against what Israel's doing to the Palestinians, and it blasts the U.S. for supporting it. Well, yeah, it says these things, all right. And many times over the years, the UN has had a majority vote against Israel and the U.S., the U.S. supporting Israel and the raping and murdering and pillaging of Palestinians. But, guys, it's just lip service. It's window dressing. Nothing's ever done about it. The UN insist that things be done about other countries that violate human rights, but it's only lip service. And now it could be argued that, well, that's because the U.S. doesn't go along and, you know, the U.N. is powerless. Well, to some degree, that is true. And I do believe a lot of this stuff represents sincere Security Council members that do want to see change, that are against it. But notice how it works, though, at the top. It doesn't matter that you have Security Council members that are sincere. At the top, you know, it's a different story. And so that's how it is in Washington. You can have some people in Congress, although nowadays not very many anymore, huh? But you can, you know, nevertheless, you can have some sincere people in Congress that want to see change, that do stand for human rights. But does anything ever happen when at the top the whole thing is controlled and they're all operating in the same interest that the sellout politicians in the White House are? What a mess. Anyway, no further ado here. Let me go to our guest. We got Killtown here, guys, someone who's done an extensive amount of research focusing particularly on Flight 93, some very interesting stuff that you're just not going to find anywhere else. So, welcome to the show, Killtown.
Hey, sorry I'm late. I was confused with the time change.
Yeah, that's what I figured it was, that time
change. You know, I was on the Knicks report yesterday, and he's Central Time. And for some odd reason, I thought you were Central Time, too.
Yeah.
So I thought I had another hour to spare.
Yeah, I did send another email last night saying Eastern, but maybe I'll put it in caps next time.
it was a stupid oversight on my part.
Well, no, believe it or not, a lot of guests have done that, actually. Jim Fetzer did it to me once on another show. So
good, I don't feel alone.
It's not uncommon. It's one of those little inconveniences.
But I'm here for you now, buddy.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's not waste any time here. Let's get into the heat of this thing. As I was saying, yeah, you've done an extensive amount of research on, particularly on Flight 93. So I think we should probably focus on that. I interviewed you once last summer, and you brought out some really good stuff about, for example, that famous picture we've all seen of the smokestack rising from in the background behind this barn. That's been put on the cover of a lot of newspapers and journals around the country, and it's kind of etched in our minds as, you know, one of the prominent scenes from that day. But what you found is the picture was a total hoax, isn't it?
Well, that's what everybody seems to think when I put out a poll. We're talking about Val McClatchy's infamous End of Serenity photo that shows a nice dark gray plume, look like it's going straight up in a perfect mushroom cloud shape in between a nice red barn and white barn. The picture's totally level. The colors are so bright and brilliant. She couldn't have taken a better shot.
With that intro, why don't we hold that and stick with us, folks. Want to hear more about this when we get back.
Ah, Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Okay, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Killtown on as our guest. And by the way, your website is killtown.com, right?
No. It's... easiest way is just to Google Killtown.
Okay.
That's the easiest way. I mean, my blog is killtown.blogspot.com, but I don't have no .com address. I just have a bunch of, like, free addresses and stuff.
I mean, like, where you can go and, you know, look at the pictures and...
Yeah, just Google Killtown. That's the easiest way. You'll find my blog. You'll find my homepage is at geocities.com/Killtown. And then I got a couple of mirrored sites at 911review.org and thewebferry.com. But just Google Killtown, that's the easiest way to find all my stuff.
It's good stuff, folks. There's a lot of really good pictures in there that, again, you're just not going to find anywhere else. So coming back to that famous picture now you were discussing before the break.
Yeah, so Val McClatchy's photo... a researcher named Rumpel had found that when he looked at the Google Earth, he found that the plume doesn't line over the crater. And before you think there's any, you know, drift involved that push it away from the crater, you can just look at the photo of the plume, and the plume just looks like it's going straight up. It still looks like it's in its infancy stage. And it looks kind of like the way it looks, it corresponds to the official story, because Val McClatchy and the FBI said it was taken within seconds of impact. I think Val says it's taken within 5 seconds, and the FBI alludes to it within seconds. However, the plume actually lines up over by the pond behind the crash site, which is about 250 yards away. Well, in the 9-knot reported wind that was in the area, that would take like about 50 seconds to drift over that. But if you look at the plume, it still looked like it's rising up. It doesn't look like it's broken up or anything to this. I can't even say that word right now. It doesn't jive with the photo and then how far off it is from the crater. You know, it doesn't drift 250 yards without dissipating. I can't even say that word today. How embarrassing. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then, of course...
So, you know, you just look at that and then you know, well, okay, that more looks like proof of an ordnance blast, what people think it is, because of the color. Because the color is not like dark like jet fuel burning. It's like, you know, more of a dark gray than a black, almost black what it should be. And there's a thin smoke column attached to it in the bottom where that doesn't, you know, for a plane that supposedly crashed with 5,500 gallons of fuel, you'd think you'd have thick black smoke coming up underneath it feeding it, but you don't see that. But
for it to be even
an ordnance blast, what I found out is if you measure it from width to width, that area over there, which is 1.6 miles away from Val McClatchy's house, where she took the photo, the width of the plume measures 7 football fields wide, 700 yards. I mean, that's just enormous. Enormous. You know, and the odds that she would be the only person taking a photo of the 700-yard wide plume, it's just ridiculous. You know, she was like, what, the only person who had a camera in the whole area, miles away? Give me a freaking break.
Yeah, the whole thing is just a scam. It really is.
Yeah. So then you look at her story of how she took it, and then it just spells it out right away. You know, she had this new digital camera ready right by her door, and she was expecting, of all things, a flyover that morning by a friend in a helicopter. I mean, what's the odds on that? On the very same day, she saw this flyover of a hijacked plane, supposedly. And then, of course, after she takes her one and only photo, she drops her camera, and the batteries spill out on the ground or loosens or whatever she's trying to say and stuff, you know. So, of course, if you're faking a photo, you're going to only fake one photo. And whatever, you know, what better story to say? Like, oh, I dropped it, you know. And then you get on into what her motive is and stuff, and then you look like right before 9/11, she admits that she's about to go bankrupt. They're about to file bankruptcy on their business, which they did 9 days after 9/11.
Yeah.
She talks about she might lose her house and stuff. She's a Corvette lover. She has a nice new Corvette, and she has a Corvette club, so she likes expensive toys and stuff. You know, you just look at that. She patents or copyrights her photo, starts selling it for $20. She says she only keeps $2 profit of the proceeds for shipping, handling, and supplies and all that. And $18 goes to the Todd Beamer Foundation, which is kind of an odd foundation. They got kind of in 2003, they got kind of got angry at because they didn't. They kept most of their profits. I guess a charitable business is supposed to give away a certain percent of their profits, and they didn't. So they were keeping more of the money than they should. So that's kind of odd. Todd Beamer, you know, doesn't show up in the Social Security index and all that kind of stuff. That's odd.
Yeah.
You know. So, but then now she's been reported to sue the AP for supposedly, like, showing her photo without her permission or whatever. And you got to ask, you know, why, if all her money is going to charity and stuff, why is she bothering suing somebody over the photo, especially the AP? You know, I mean, all this money is not even going to her anyways. So, but now we find out she's suing the AP for $150,000.
She probably assistance from government officials to doctor that photo.
Well, the important thing is to remember before people just think it's just her doing a simple scam and not really related to 9/11. The first people to see the photo were the FBI who came over to look at it. And then she, they went home with her memory card. So this photo is. I'm sorry. What's that?
Maybe they were. They had photographed the helicopter too.
Who knows? But you know, the reason they took it home is they said when they downloaded it to her computer, she says that they saw debris flying out from the plume. I mean, this plume is 1.6 miles away, and they say they could see debris falling out from it. So they needed to take her memory card back with them. Which Val says they do it for scientific reason, you know, to look at it more. So are you telling me the FBI takes that thing home, blows it up with, you know, analyzes it with all their sophisticated equipment and can't realize how big this plume is, you know? I mean, if you look at the photo, the plume looks like it was taken closer than the trees in the horizon, which the trees in the horizon are like 400 yards away. It looks like the plume was taken only about 200 to 300 yards away. So, yeah, it just looks like they, and you know, of course, it's on a nice blue sky. It just looks like they photoshopped the whole sky in or something with a plume. The photo probably wasn't even taken on 9/11. It was probably taken before.
You think they'd get their perspective a little better, you know?
Well, I found out that if you go on her porch and you take the picture, the land like that is not level. It's like onto a side, so it's like they cropped the photo up the level. And stuff, the horizon. The white barn you see in her photo is not white anymore. It's painted red, just like the other barn. A couple of people have told me they try to take shots, you know, to simulate the shot, and, you know, her camera, which was didn't even have optical zoom. It was an HP camera. It only had digital zoom. It was only like 2.1 megapixels, you know. They said her camera took a better picture. Her older camera took a better picture than their newer camera did.
It's ridiculous. So just something more to add to the ever-growing list of frauds involved with the 9/11 attacks. Hey, what do you think of, what was it, 2 months ago, the BBC came out with that documentary, and now they're interviewing people in the area who seem to be telling a totally different story from what they had initially told. For example, that couple on the lake, Indian Lake there.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, it was just ashes we saw. They talked about bagfuls of material being picked up. Magazines, books, clothing, suitcases, and, you know, overhead luggage items. And now they're saying, oh, no, it's just ashes. And, yeah, the wind just blew it over here. Well, that's interesting that the wind would happen to blow it and have it deposited right over the lake, nowhere mm-hmm. else in the area, you know. But isn't that interesting how the story has changed now? I wonder if they were offered some cash, maybe a little threat.
Well, I hadn't heard that story, so I definitely is going to be something
to look into
today.
You remember the coroner that showed up there? He showed up within minutes after the, quote, mm-hmm. plane had crashed. And he said that he knew within 5 minutes that his services weren't needed there because he saw no human remains, no pieces of airplane, nothing like that at all. He was interviewed by the BBC for the same documentary, and now it's a completely different story, and he says, oh, I was quoted out of context, and his statements were very clear what he meant. And
yeah.
Now he's changed his story. You know, this is so sickening.
Well, it's important to know that the key thing he said was he didn't see a drop of blood, and he said commented how weird and eerie that was. But yet, supposedly human remains in the trees and the forest right by the crater and stuff. Supposedly this plane hits at almost 600 miles an hour, and the nose cone breaks off and shatters into the forest, depositing all these human remains and stuff like that. Yet, when he's walking around there, you know, right 20 minutes after the crash, he doesn't see one drop of blood. So how could all these human remains totally disintegrate, and some of them, you know, human remains found in the trees right outside the crater, and yet he doesn't see any blood, you know? So that can't be. I mean, we got pictures of, like, Bibles, books, driver's license, and pretty decent shape that didn't disintegrate, but yet all these 44 passengers, including these alleged four hijackers, totally disintegrate to where there's only like bits and pieces of their body parts, and yet
right.
no blood. And if you look at some of the very few photos of them excavating the crater, you know, there's no moisture to the ground.
Right. Be right back, folks. Stick with us.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hey, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. You have Killtown on as our guest. You know, we saw the same thing, of course, with the Pentagon strike. The airplane, we're told, had vaporized. And yet, less than a year later, the FBI comes out and says that they managed to identify all the remains from, you know, they had found remains from all the passengers, representing all of them, except for an infant girl. How do you get passenger remains surviving from a crash that vaporizes supposedly an airplane? Of course, we know that's ridiculous, but to say that it vaporized. But, I mean, just look at the massive contradictions here. And we got the same thing with Flight 93. You know, interestingly, they didn't say that about the two planes that hit the towers. They claimed to have found, you know, pieces from those planes, and yet virtually nothing from Flight 77. Of course, it wasn't Flight 77, but you know what I'm saying. And nothing really from 93. They found airplane parts miles away. If that was, in fact, Flight 93, that's open for debate.
Yeah, I mean, they say they recovered 95% of Flight 93 in Shanksville, and they recovered 80% of it inside the ground, so in the crater.
Yeah.
If there's only one photo of anything getting excavated out of the crater, and that's that smashed-up engine piece that you see in the Misawi trial pic. And coincidentally enough, that piece that looks like old and rusted and smashed up, if you look at it real closely, there's no dirt embedded in it. It's only 2 feet underground, and it happens to be small enough to fit in the backup bucket, which is right next to it when they took the photo. So it's obvious that they planted that engine scrap by just putting it in the backup bucket, lowering it down, dropping it 2 feet under in the crater, backing the backup bucket off, and snapping the photo. And they put in the little pieces. They threw in some little pieces of shiny aluminum to, you know, give it that added touch. But of course, the shiny aluminum is just regular raw aluminum that's silver color and not the colors of United Airlines, which is like what, gray and blue.
Yeah. Well, it's like that piece from the Pentagon that's supposed to be an engine part. It's supposed to be the front plate, you know, where they attach the rotors. But shown next to the leg of an officer standing nearby, it can't be more than maybe two and a half feet wide.
Yeah, and how hard is that little piece to plant? I mean, it's just a person can carry that thing, just put it anywhere they want, you know?
Yeah. But it's certainly...
You know, all these pieces at the Pentagon, like all these pieces on the outside, you know, there's a common theme to all of them. They're not burnt. They're just little shreds of pieces that they, looks like they just threw out in the yard. And if you look at if you think that they're too big to plant, well, look at all the pictures of them picking it up and carrying it away. You know, if it's light enough to carry away, it's light enough to carry in.
Have you found anything?
I mean, that plane supposedly hit the building, the only fortified part of the building. Nobody, hardly anybody there. I mean, the worst place for the terrorists to hit. But yet the best place for us to hit if we did it to ourselves.
Master planners. Well, you know, one thing's for sure, they were master pilots because they pulled off not only something that pilots with 20, 30 years of experience under the belt couldn't do, but something that a 757 wasn't even capable of withstanding without breaking up because of the G-forces.
Oh, yeah.
So they are master pilots anyway.
Yeah. All three of the planes that hit something hit with precision. Flight 11, Flight 7175, and Flight 77. They all hit dead square, you know, they all hit with precision. They all hit without any of their appendages getting chopped off the side of the building or anything, flying out so people can see. But all four of them had a same theme in common. They all disappeared into what they hit.
It just goes to show the power of Allah. And
now
they just had their graduating class sent out as suicide bombers to the U.S. and to Europe. Guys, you better watch out. These guys are superhuman. I mean, they can scale up the side of buildings like Spider-Man and take down the tower just by one of these bombs strapped to them. Allah has given them tremendous powers, so you better be in fear.
They're a force to
be reckoned with, you know? I mean, hey, if the Magnificent Seven from Miami, according to Gonzalez, were capable of launching a full-scale ground war against the United States, imagine what these guys with the power of Allah behind them are capable of doing.
Well, I mean, this is one of the things that just made me suspicious. The attacks was just so clean and so perfect. You know, it got rid of all the evidence because all these planes disappeared. Two of them disappeared in towers, one disappeared into the Pentagon, and the other one disappeared underground in Shanksville. So you basically eliminate all your evidence of people on board and everything, and all you have to do is just throw scraps around to make it look like it hit. I mean, it just looked so clean. And then when you're having some kind of massive suicide attack, allegedly, you know, why was there no ground attack? You know, why didn't they send a bunch of these, quote-unquote, suicide terrorists in vans all over in different spots of America and in shopping malls or something, get out with their machine guns and start unloading on the people? I mean, if they want to create terrorism, that's the way to do it, you know.
Right.
But you didn't see any, you know, ground attacks. I mean, they could have been, you know, if there were the true Muslims that we were told and they don't like to go after innocent people, then they could have still, like, did ground attacks on military bases or, you know, financial institutions like they supposedly did with the World Trade Center. But we didn't see any of that. We just saw these, you know, aerial attacks. You couldn't see the planes. You can't see in the planes. You don't know who's in them. And then when they crash, they all disintegrate and they get rid of all the evidence. I mean, how perfect is that?
It's unbelievable. All of this stuff is fake. Fake orange alerts, fake terror arrests, fake terror plots, fake terrorist attacks. There's no end to it. There's no legitimacy to any of this. Be right back, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Okay, we're back here on Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Killtown on as our guest. So, hey, have you heard about the latest development? I guess Alex Jones had him on yesterday or the day before, talking about he was, I think, a security guard or whatever at WTC7, and he described in detail about explosions going off. Have you seen that?
You know, I heard about it, but I didn't catch the show, so unfortunately I am I'm a little out of the loop on that one, but I did hear all the buzz about it.
Yeah, the audio is available. It's interesting. It's worth checking out. As time goes on, you know, as if we need more, proof, you know, but it's more and more keeps coming out, and it will. There's a whole lot more people out there that need to start opening up their mouths. What's that?
Well, you just go look at World Trade Center 7 and just look how it collapses. The first time I saw it collapse, first thing that came to my mind was controlled demolition because it fell down so neatly. And then when I found out it was a World Trade Center building that collapsed on 9/11, which I didn't know about it. I mean, the first time I came across it was on a conspiracy site. I was just floored that I did not see in the news when I was glued to the news 2 weeks after 9/11, and I did not hear about a 47-story skyscraper collapsing that was not hit by a plane. I mean, that right away told me it was a conspiracy, because it was a conspiracy of silence, you know, because I can't believe, you know, most cities, their skyscrapers are only about 50 stories tall. So this would be like the tallest skyscraper in most cities, you know, yet it fell straight down, collapsed straight down, and wasn't even really announced on the news. I mean, it was just briefly mentioned in the news when you go back and look at the archives. But, like, if you weren't really paying attention in with all the shock and confusion that you were going through, you would have totally missed it as I did, you know. And I just couldn't believe that they just basically showed it once on 9/11 the next day, and that was it, you know. And I didn't even realize it. And then, like, months later, I think it was almost in 2002 was when I, you know, learned about the WTC-7. And I'm all like, wow, a 47-story skyscraper collapsed in the United States, and I didn't know about it.
That's a big clincher for a lot of people. I think we need to focus probably on that more than anything else, because, I mean, once people see that, lately it seems that more than anything is doing it for them, because it's like, yeah, that wasn't hit by a plane. There was no significant fires in it, and it crumbled from the base.
Yeah.
And as it came down, it remained perfectly level. I can't wait to see the NIST's report come out on that. They've yet to produce it, but it's supposed to be coming out this summer, apparently.
Yeah.
That's going to be the biggest bucket of laughs yet. I mean, their explanation of the Twin Towers was a joke, but this one here is going to... I can't wait.
Have you, yeah, you know, I can't either.
Just ridiculous statements coming from these guys. They're jokes. They'd be better off if they just kept their mouths shut. You know?
I think so.
They do more of a service to our cause than we can. You know, make the official story look more laughable.
I mean, how does asymmetrical fire and damage cause a building to collapse symmetrically?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Right. Do you know what the odds on fire and just asymmetrical damage, you know, from debris hitting to weaken the building just right for it to fall straight down? You know, it doesn't fall over to the side or anything.
And so their claim...
It just makes it fall straight down.
Their claim that Building 7 came down because of damage done on the side facing the two main towers is laughable, because that... Anybody can go watch this from any website of your choice. The footage is all over the place. There were several different films caught of it. And you can see that the roof doesn't tilt at all.
Yeah.
It received the same amount of resistance, which is none, all the way down to ground level. There's no way that any damage done on any side of it could have contributed to its fall, unless it had an equal amount of damage done all the way around it, which, of course, it didn't, on every floor.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just...
Well, if you look at how the debris fell, it kind of spilled mostly to the north side, but yet it was the south side that supposedly had this big, you know, 20-story gouge taken out of its corner, and all the damage, all the pelting from the north tower was suffered on the south side of the 7 building. Yet if you look at the pictures, after it collapsed straight down, you know, most of the debris kind of went off to the north. I mean, shouldn't most of the debris went to the direction of where it got damaged? Because that's the part that's weaker. You know, a tree down. Which way does it fall? It falls in the direction that the damage is received.
And
so,
you look at the pictures of, you know, the after effects at the pile, and it's a nice, neat little clump of debris.
It's a nice, exactly, and it would be like the world record of a bottom-up explosion, your classical demolition. It would be a world record, because I think the next tallest building was, what, 25? I know it was under 30 stories. I think it was like 25 stories. So this thing was, you know, almost double that. It was very close to the buildings right next to it, so it did... It slightly damaged the buildings, you know, around it, but hardly. I mean, comparative to how close it was in proximity and how tall it was. I mean, the seven was twice as tall as all the neighboring buildings, and it barely.
But a new expert in physics, what degree do you have?
I love that one. I mean, this is.
I got eyes and common sense.
You don't need a degree.
That's what I got.
Yeah, common sense. I mean, this is just, you know. Let's talk about that for a minute, okay? NIST, with all of their credentials, all of their degrees, this is an expert panel, top physicists, and they come out with these heinously ridiculous statements. We didn't find any evidence of explosives used at Ground Zero. And yet later they admit, we did not test any of the steel we examined for explosive residue. Oh, my goodness. So much for having a degree.
Yeah, you don't expect the foxes to implement themselves in the hen house massacre. I mean, you know. It's like the foxes are going to hire the foxes to do the investigation, you know. What are the foxes going to say? Oh, yes, we did it.
We found no evidence of molten steel at Ground Zero. Well, of course not, because by the time they got there, all the debris had been hauled away. But nevertheless, they said, but if there was, and oh, there was.
They hauled away the debris from World Trade Center's World Trade Center 7 first, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why did they do that when there was no bodies in it?
Yeah, because
why didn't they start hauling away the tower, the debris from the towers? Why did they haul away the 7 debris first?
Right, and that's their claim, that why they hauled it away so quick. Oh, yeah, I'm concerned for either A, survivors. Yeah, like there's going to be survivors in there for the 3 months, 4 months that they were cleaning up most of that debris. And then, of course, it was concerned for remains of those who died. Oh, really? That's why they continue to find remains to this day right out in the open. I mean, whole bones and chunks of bones buried under the street, right out in the open, piled up, you know, dozens of pieces. Just, it's unbelievable. That some of the bones were ground up to use for road fill. That's how concerned they were about getting bones and remains out of town.
Well, I like how in the morning at 6:47 a.m., the morning of 9/11, the fire alarms were placed on 8-hour test modes in the World Trade Center 7, which meant that any alarms received would be ignored. So what's the odds on that? I mean, that alone.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did that come out recently?
No, this has been out for a while. This is on my smoking guns list and my oddities page. But just go to my smoking guns list and then the World Trade Center 7 section. It's number 79.
Well, I love the, you know, calling the bomb-sniffing dogs out the weekend before. I like that one.
Yeah, you know, it's just all these coincidences, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, every event's going to have a coincidence, but when they have, like, over 100, I mean, I got found, like, 270 coincidences, basically, you know, surrounding this event. You know how astronomical the odds are for them to be all coincidences?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the Pentagon when the EM...
You question it, you're still paranoid.
It's just like in the Pentagon where you had the EMTs. You had an EMT talking to FBI the day before asking who has command of the emergency plane crash plan. You have this same guy hours before the hit studying what to do in case a plane crashes there. You had all the...
one of my personal favorites, Kenny. FEMA employees being interviewed by Dan Rather the evening of 9/11, and he says,
Yeah,
we were the first to arrive here to help out with the crisis this morning. We got here last night.
Yeah, exactly. And then we find out on 9/12 there was supposed to be a bioterrorism drill, you know, so FEMA obviously had to come a couple days before to set up camp and stuff, so they were there. I mean, they just happened to be there. And at the Pentagon, there was like a four-alarm fire. I don't know how many alarms it goes up to. At an apartment complex just right down the road, like a mile away, at an apartment high-rise building. When they got there, the fire was out, so that made them all closer to the Pentagon, which got hit, you know, just within 5 minutes or something after they arrived there. So they're, you know, made them all on their way to the Pentagon. All the top emergency people involved with fighting a fire arrived within 5 minutes at the Pentagon because they were all out on the road, just happened to be by the Pentagon, you know. I mean, it was just, I mean, all for Christ's sakes, the emergency people had all their equipment out for an inventory check at the Pentagon, which has made it more easy for them to get all their equipment they needed to respond to the hit. How coincidental can you get?
And then the lies, you got Myers, okay, who actually, he's totally oblivious to what was going on. He first told the congressional committee that was interviewing him to determine whether, you know, he was going to be appointed as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And, of course, they went ahead and did it in spite of the lame crap that he fed him. But he actually said that he didn't know about the towers being hit until he came out of a congressional meeting. And at that moment, he said someone ran up to him and told him about the tower being hit. And then he said just within a moment later, the Pentagon was struck. So he didn't find out until 9:40 that the two towers were hit. Yet in a later interview, he actually said that he personally gave orders to send up intercept planes after the second tower was hit. Get, you got to be kidding. These guys are unbelievable.
Well, look at what happened. Andrews Air Force Base, which I didn't even know was only 15 miles away from the Pentagon. I mean, that's a huge one right there. I mean, the Pentagon's able to get hit, yet there's an Air Force Base right there, and they don't send anything up to
Andrews.
Intercept it. In fact, a C-130 takes off from Andrews before any jet fighters. And then we find out jet fighters were flown from the Andrews Air Force Base away 130 miles, like to South Carolina or something, morning for a practice run.
Cold War mode. We didn't expect to be attacked from within. We were only watching from outside the country.
Yeah, and people believe that, Croc?
What a scam. I love Glenn Flood, too. You know,
generally, we don't evacuate unless we know there's an imminent threat.
This plane was supposed to have been hijacked, headed toward Washington for 40 minutes after the two towers were hit, and that wasn't an imminent threat.
Well, this is one of my biggest early things that, you know, made me just very suspicious, because after supposedly NORAD, with their timeline that they now have since taken down and haven't put back up, they said that they were aware of two hijackings in the air before the North Tower got hit. Now, that's very important because, as far as I can tell, at no time in the U.S. history have two planes been reported to hijack at the same time in U.S. airspace. Then you get this odd crash at the World Trade Center that they know it's a plane crash, but they don't know if it's the hijacked jets. Now, that's fine. That's fine. But when the military knows two jets have been hijacked, a really odd plane crash in the World Trade Center that was attacked, you know, less than 10 years before, I mean, they weren't smart enough to start sending everything up. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, when the second...
was hijacked 5 minutes after it took off.
Yeah. And then after the second tower gets hit at 9:03, everybody knows it's a terrorist attack. Why are there no jets or even attack helicopters being sent up over the D.C. area, the most vital place in the whole United States.
I happen to know that Rumsfeld's coffee machine was not working that morning. He can't function without his morning coffee.
He was sure prophetic because he predicted all the attacks minutes before all of them happened.
Yeah.
And then, the day before, he announces, you know, the Pentagon is missing lost track of $2.3 trillion. Now, if you were going to, like, bring out bad news and you were behind it all, you'd bring it out right before a catalyzing event like 9/11, because no one's going to remember that you said $2.3 trillion is unaccounted for.
Yeah.
Which I think is another kicker, is he had this thing called the Rumsfeld Rules, these list of rules that he jotted down through his career. He changed it only twice, and guess when the second time he changed it? Or he added a new rule, and guess when that was? Right before the attack, on 9/10, the evening of 9/10, he adds another rule to his Rumsfeld rule. Only two times he's ever changed it. Now, that's another coincidence?
Did you know on January 7th of 2001, 8 months before the attacks, Rumsfeld drafted up a report? It was called Report of the Commission to Assess United States National Security Space Management and Organization. Okay, guys can Google that. And listen to what the document said. The question is whether the U.S. will be wise enough to act responsibly and soon enough to reduce U.S. space vulnerability, or whether, as in the past, a disabling attack against the country and its people, a space Pearl Harbor, will be the only event able to galvanize the nation and cause the U.S. government to act. This is a space Pearl Harbor. This is, and keep in mind, Rumsfeld, of course, is a member of PNAC, the Project for the New American Century, which drafted up the September 2000 report, Rebuilding America's Defenses, in which they called for a new Pearl Harbor type event, or said that, you know, that's what it would take to galvanize the public. So, but here's yet another document, you know, coming out, making reference to stuff like this. And, of course, keep in mind, that morning, Rumsfeld was petitioning a congressional group, pleading with them for more funding. And then later that night, after the attacks, he said, "See? Didn't I tell you that an event was going to happen? Do you see now why we need more money?" Unbelievable.
Yep.
I tell you what, we got a caller, Paul in Delaware. Go ahead, Paul.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, I wanted to go ahead and tell you about an important website. It's myspace.com/awakenfree, AwakenFree. And the reason why it's important is because if people are interested in educating themselves and results, I'm hearing talk shows since I was a little kid with my dad talking about what the problems are, but here we are still talking, you know, years and much years later. And the reason being is because I'm not interested in, it's like going to church. I'm not interested in being entertained. I'm interested in results. And so I put together a MySpace account, Awaken Free, with some real results. And anyone that I've got over, I've got a suppressed free library. It's a free library. And people can go and see and get the information that they need. And so,
yeah, appreciate it. Definitely check it out, folks. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?"
Yeah.
Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places."
Yeah.
Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Killtown on as our guest. We got just a couple more minutes left. We have Keith from Tennessee. Real quick, Keith, you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. You know, I've always thought this in my mind, and maybe you'll agree with me, but I don't think that the fight is on a political level. I mean, if we're going to get supporters, we got to do it on the media level, like the entertainment level, okay? You know, because that's what the majority of people tune into. They tune into the quick soundbite, you know, if we're going to get followers, we got to get them on a soundbite level, you know? Do you agree with me there?
Yeah, Charlie Sheen supposedly is working on a Hollywood version of Loose Change. Let's hope that will have such an effect. Yeah, you're right. I mean, people just want to sit down, eat popcorn, and drink soda and be entertained. And if you can, you know, that's a good way to awaken them.
Yeah, but, you know, one of the things that really just, like, knocked me off my chair the other day is one of the biggest hypocrites in Hollywood and the one who has one of the greatest effects on people is Steven Spielberg. Here he comes out as a supporter of Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the biggest, you know, Nazi supporters. I mean, he believes that Kurt Waldheim is one of the greatest people in the world. He's wearing, you know, belt buckles with skulls on it. I mean, he stated that he wanted to be a dictator and that he admired Hitler. And so Steven Spielberg supports him as governor, and then he supports Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is... you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, he's a Zionist from... I mean, he's a complete Bilderberg Zionist. I mean, do you agree with me, Charles?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They all are. They wouldn't get in politics if they weren't. Killtown, wouldn't that be great to see a documentary come out showing Cheney in the bunker there giving the stand-down orders? Of course the orders still stand!
It'd be great.
Showing some guys in the bunker in Building 7 manipulating the planes and setting off the charges. Oh, that would be so cool. Boy.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with the caller. I think we need to go out after, like, the MTV generation, you know, the people who are kind of, you know, what we define as sheep out there. You know, they only care about watching TV. They don't think for themselves. You know, people just go on YouTube to watch, you know, half-naked girls and stuff like that. That's where they're at. We need to make short sound bites of a few things that are that'll get their attention and help hopefully wake them up. You know, not everybody's going to sit there and watch an hour-long documentary on Google Video.
Well, can I tell you something? Can I just interject? I mean, in the time that I have left, I mean, really, I mean, I was a complete zero. I'm 40, in my 40s right now, and I have always felt this spiritual yearning that there was something wrong, and I've only recently found a connection with people who feel the way I do. I mean, with young people, older people, people my same age, and Republic Broadcasting has really, I mean, and Alex Jones and all those things, and I don't want to, you know, bring in competitors in this, but we're all in this together. But, I mean, really, I feel a camaraderie here, and I think we can I really do believe we can pull it off if we just, you know, string our hamstrings together and just, like, pull it all in, you know?
People are waking up. The biggest weapon in their arsenal, I always say this, has been propaganda, and it's been taken from them. They've lost it. They don't have that edge anymore. I mean, they still control the media, but people aren't buying it.
No, they're not.
That's one good thing we definitely have in our favor. We're beating them there.
Hey, I love you guys. Okay?
Hey, thanks for the call, man.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, hey, Killtown, I guess we're out of time. Sorry, man. Wish we did have the full 2 hours, but maybe we'll have you on again sometime. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, sorry for missing the first hour.
Yeah, no problem. But, yeah, folks, go to just Google Killtown. You'll see his websites. Check the pictures out. He gives some great analysis of them and really good stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, take care, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
A message for all homeowners.